You need one of those plays to create points here.
Second and 10. Setting up the screen, Kamara. Blockers in front, inside the 20. Breaks a tackle, and he steps in for the touchdown.
29 yards. Good morning. Who Dat Nation, how you feeling today? I bet you're feeling pretty good about yourself. And probably feeling pretty good about your team's chances to stay afloat while number 9 is out recovering from his thumb surgery. But y'all were filled with doubt last week, weren't you? Woo! Teddy Bridgewater and company said, no need to be doubters. No need to be doubters. Trust in us, just as RP3 did last Friday when he made his prediction of a Who Dat victory. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on the Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. I'm your host, Raymond Parts III, the producer extraordinaire. Louis Prejean is on the ones and twos. We got a tremendous Monday edition of RP3 and Company lined up for you. We'll be talking Raging Cajuns football, getting that huge win on the road against Ohio. Defense showed up, at least very much early on. Elijah Mitchell, former ERATH star, had himself a hell of a ball game. They get the win on the road against Ohio to get to 3-1 before entering conference play. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about LSU going on the road. Joe Burrow lighting them up. Offense scoring points at will there against Vanderbilt. We'll also discuss Vanderbilt's offense being seemingly able to score points at will as well. Any concerns about the Tigers' defense? Coach O says it ain't because they're out there more. It's because they're not tackling. Yeah. Head coach of the Tigers not happy about his defensive effort so far. We'll talk about that. Hey, Houston Astro fans, we got you covered as well. Take it back. Hashtag take it back. That's right. 3 in a row. 3 straight division titles now for the Astros as they look to close out the season this week. Have to do so on the road, but they racked up the division championship yesterday at home at the Big Juice Box. We'll talk about all of that and more, but we got to talk about the Saints. Who Dats? Woo! Went on the road in the rain against a team that's been a pain in their tuchus, a thorn in their side for years. 4 years. Regular season and postseason. Seattle has been the team that has ended postseason dreams, has been a team that has unexpectedly defeated the Saints over and over again. Not yesterday. And, boy, Teddy Bridgewater looked efficient, didn't he? Sean Payton had a week to devise a game plan for his quarterback. And this whole, it's going to be Teddy and Taysom thing. I told you. It's a smokescreen. It's a way to keep Pete Carroll and the Seahawks off balance. Did Taysom Hill even have a pass attempt in that game? No, he did not. Teddy Bridgewater, who many of you feel does not deserve to be on the football field, went out there and was 19 of 27, 177 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, no sacks. Not Drew Brees numbers, but as I told you on Friday and Thursday and Wednesday of last week, he doesn't need to be Drew Brees. He just needs to be the best version of Teddy Bridgewater. And if your quarterback can go out there and complete 19 to 27 passes for nearly 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions, and not be sacked, that's a winning formula every single game. Every single game. If he's out there, is efficient, doesn't turn over the ball, and makes good throws. And some of those throws, talking about you, Jared Cook, woof. We'll get to him. Woof. Boy, he sure does look like Kobe Fleener 2.0, don't he? I know it's only three games, but damn. My man, you're getting paid to be a top 10 tight end in this league, and you out there making, like, I watched him yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God, they did it again. It's Kobe Fleener. This is Kobe Fleener all over again. Teddy Bridgewater was efficient. He wasn't sensational. He wasn't spectacular. He wasn't going to put up 370 yards like Drew Brees would have. But damn, he went on the road in the rain against a good playoff contending team and was efficient and put together a couple, threw a couple touchdown passes. Didn't turn over the ball, didn't take a sack. And we talked about it last week. Has to be a team effort. Offensive line has to play better. And early on, they played awful with all the false start penalties. There was a couple of good Teddy Bridgewater throws that got nullified because false start. Illegal motion. Sean Payton being too busy being the smartest guy in the room. You had the one play where they were changing up. They'd already broke the huddle, came out there, and then they were trying to change personnel. Sean Payton was trying to put new personnel out there, and they had to take a timeout. What are you doing? You're on the road with your new starting quarterback. Let's try to make it as easy as possible. Alvin Kamara, huge game. Some good, tough runs from number 41. 69 yards rushing with a touchdown. Led the Saints receiving corps with 9 receptions for 92 yards and a touchdown. He's your all-purpose back. He's a guy that's going to get a huge contract. You needed him to step up. Guess what he did? You needed Teddy Bridgewater to be efficient, make some big plays, not turn over the ball. He did that. Alvin Kamara stepped up. He's a better playmaker than Teddy Bridgewater. That's what you need your franchise running back to do. It's exactly what he did. Michael Thomas, 5 catches for 54 yards and a touchdown. They did a nice job of defending him. Jared Cook, 1 catch for 7 yards. Justin Hill, 1 catch for 4 yards. Your tight ends caught 2 balls. Woof. Woof. Saints defense did a fairly good job early on. They had no answer for Tyler Lockett. 11 catches for 154 yards. But that was it. I mean, no one else really made an impact in the game. Receiving-wise. Of course, Russell Wilson, 32 of 50 for 406 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, rushed for another 51 yards and 2 touchdowns. So the Saints won in spite of giving Russell Wilson a 4-touchdown and 457-yard performance. If I would have told you last week, guys, Russell Wilson's going to have 457 total yards of offense and 4 touchdowns, your reaction would have been, well, we're losing by 4 touchdowns. That's what you would have said. Now, of course, one of those touchdowns was absolutely just garbage right there at the end as time expired. So really, this is was not a 33-27 victory. This was more like a dominant victory than the final score indicated. Of course, Dante Harris got the Saints on the board first with that punt return for a touchdown. He later lost a fumble. So he looked really great on the punt return for a touchdown. Didn't look so great when he lost it later. Sean Payton was not pleased by that. Vaughn Bell with the scoop and score. Safety out of Ohio State. Came up big with the defensive touchdown. So punt return for a touchdown, defensive touchdown. Offensive line played a whole lot better. Teddy Bridgewater was efficient. Alvin Kamara stepped up. On the road, Saints are now 2-1. With the victory over the green and teal colored birds of the Pacific Northwest. Teddy Bridgewater had this to say about his teammate, Alvin Kamara, and exactly what he is. He's essentially a video game player.
Man, he's like the human joystick. You give him the ball, he's spinning, he's juking, he's bouncing off of guys. And as a quarterback, when you can throw him a screen and you watch him, just watch the play happen, it's like, man, you know, this guy, he's a bad man. And we're glad he's on our team. And, you know, he's one of those guys who's one of the leaders on offense.
He did have that one move where he bounced off a couple guys, then juked a couple guys and ran it down. They were by their own end zone. He turned the game, and he took that hand off and just made it like 20 yards. Guy's phenomenal. Teddy Bridgewater also talked about how the mentality of this team was that of desperation, that they wanted to come out here, and they knew that their backs were against the wall and that they needed to go out there and get a victory.
We know that we have a good football team, but I think coming into this game, we were a desperate team. We knew that we needed to win, and we were desperate for the win. And when we played with that mindset, it gave us that chip on our shoulders. Like, man, you know, we're not leaving out of here without a win. And DeMario, he talked about hunting in the pregame and things like that. And those guys were hunting on defense and kicking game, and we were trying to do our part on offense.
Once again, the Saints were able to score in all three phases of the game. Punt return, touchdown. Fumble recovery, touchdown by Von Bell. And, of course, the couple of touchdown drives that Teddy Bridgewater was able to lead them. A few touchdown drives that Bridgewater was able to lead the Saints on. Sean Payton, Saints head coach, said afterwards, when asked about all three phases contributing, this is what the leader of the Who Dat Nation had to say.
Well, look, that's why it's a team. I thought we had a good week of practice. And there's something about that. There's something about the week in the locker room, even going through pregame. You know, I thought we took the crowd completely out of it. And generally, you have to deal with a lot louder place.
There was some reports from the Saints media people that had been to Seattle before that were there covering the game saying it didn't sound as loud as they had remembered it. A couple of them said that the Superdome was actually louder, and Seattle prides itself on being home of the 12th man. Remember, they had the whole settlement lawsuit thing with Texas A&M to continue to be able to claim that. And how loud they are, even though they're an open stadium for the most part. But it was decibels were a little bit low. Now, maybe that was due to the fact that it was raining. Or maybe the fact that, you know, Seattle, even though they were 2-0, they'd beaten up on bad teams. Regardless, 33-27 victory for the Who Dats. And Sean Payton said it was a hell of a win for his team.
A good win for us on the road against a real good football team. I thought we did a lot of things well. You know, I thought we played in a different way, but a pretty complete game. You know, the special teams return early. Was a great start for us. And then, you know, we did enough things well defensively, offensively. It was a good win.
It was a good win. That it was. 2-1 now on the season. And you have some confidence now. Once again, you do not need Teddy Bridgewater in this offense to be what Drew Brees in this offense is. You just don't. They proved it yesterday on the road in the elements that they, in fact, do not need to have their quarterback throw 370 yards. They found a way to win. That's all that matters. They got a special teams touchdown. They got a defensive touchdown. Their quarterback led them on a couple of scoring drives. He had a clean game, no turnovers. Boom. You win a lot of football games in the NFL. Once again, you do not need Teddy Bridgewater to step in and be Drew Brees. There's only one Drew Brees, and expecting Teddy Bridgewater to be able to be Drew is unrealistic and not exactly fair to him. So Sean Payton came up with a game and called a game that was more tailor-made to his skill set. Wisely done, had a week to prepare. And now they will come back home inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome on Sunday night and host the undefeated Dallas Cowboys. We want to hear from you. Hootats, how did you feel about what you saw from your team, from Teddy Bridgewater and Company? You can give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. You can also go vote on our new poll question of the day. Did Teddy Bridgewater prove his doubters wrong with his performance on Sunday against Seattle? Yes, he did. No, he didn't. You can go vote on that right now at 1037thegame.com. More Hootat talk coming up right here on RP3 and Company.
Thought he played real well. You know, the early series, I kind of hamstrung him a little bit with some calls getting in personnel-wise. But, yeah, I think he settled in and did a really good job.
That's Saints head coach Sean Payton talking about Teddy Bridgewater's performance and even admitting that he kind of hamstrung him with some play calls. Yeah. After the team breaks the huddle, don't try to put new personnel on the field. For the love, come on. Saints get the win, Teddy Bridgewater. Very efficient, not spectacular, but efficient, and that's all you need from them. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 Game. And let's head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Welcome on Ron from Opelousas. Ron, good morning to you, brother. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay, sir?
I can hear you just fine, brother.
Okay. I just want to say, first of all, I'm a first-time caller, but I will be calling again because thank you, sir, for being a fair sportscaster. I'm a big fan of the Saints, and I 100% agree with you that Mr. Bridgewater is not a Drew Brees, and we should just let him be himself. And long as he's winning, you know, let's support him. And you are right on point. I was listening to what you were saying about that last week. They were, I don't know. But I have two pretty good heroes in this particular situation. I know you gave, Sean his little bit of like, hey, come on. But I think Sean, like you said, put together a great game plan for Bridgewater that was tailored to his skills. He's proven it before he could win games. And when they went to Seattle, nobody really gave him a chance. They must admit it. That was a huge victory, a huge, because Brees and company hadn't done it since 2008. But it wasn't a Drew Brees loss. It was a team loss. Brees is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. But it shows you what team play can do. And Bridgewater, like you said, he would have had even more passes, but he had some problems with drop passes and that type of stuff. But I appreciate you being fair, because I've always supported, the Cajun Cannon. He is not a Bridgewater fan, and I wish I could call him and tell him, man, just give the man a chance. We know you're promoting Hill, but let's not create no quarterback controversy. If the man starts thinking, take him out. But thank you for being fair, sir. That's my time.
Thank you, Ron. Appreciate the phone call. Enjoy your day. Look, you got to be fair. And I know what Ron's talking about, because I've listened to the Cannon enough times driving back from Saints games. Not a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater. And I've said it before. You can't judge Teddy on what occurred, him coming in for a stunned New Orleans Saints team the previous week against the Rams. You just can't. You can't. The offensive line didn't block well. Wide receivers dropped balls, and Teddy was not sharp. It was a team effort in that loss against the Rams. Okay? And you can't judge what he did against the first-team Carolina Panthers in a meaningless game last season when half the team sat. Okay? You just can't. Kid had not played a meaningful game since 2015 when he was a Pro Bowler and helped lead the Vikings to the playoffs before shredding his knee and almost having to lose part of his leg. Okay? They will make this offense for Teddy and use his strengths. He got the ball out quicker yesterday, if you didn't notice. Something he's worked on. And I agree with Ron. This whole pushback against Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy can't play. Look, you don't need Teddy to be Drew Brees. I don't care if you put Teddy Bridgewater back there. I don't care if you put Dak Prescott back there. I don't care who you put back there. It does not matter. It does not matter. They're not going to be Drew. They're not going to be Drew. There's only one number nine. There's only one Drew Brees. That's it. That's it. So you make the adjustment. You make the adjustment and you play to the guy's strengths. There's a reason why the Saints believe Teddy Bridgewater was worth making him the highest paid backup in the National Football League. There's a reason why they retained him. And the reason why he decided not to go play for the Dolphins and instead came and was the backup to Drew Brees for the Saints. He doesn't have to be Drew. He just needs to be Teddy. And yesterday, that was good enough to get another win on the road. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game.
Open date is right there around the corner. We're going to enjoy this victory. And I'm sure I'm going to be feeling a little bit different than tomorrow, but I'm feeling great right now that we won the football game. That's something that I'm really proud of.
LSU got the victory and a whole lot more. 66-38 to open up Southeastern Conference play on Saturday on the road in Nashville. Joe Burrow, well, he had what we call a tremendous day. A tremendous day. The Vanderbilt Commodores defense is what we call not good. Just, I mean, I could try to eloquently put it in words and look up, you know, get my thesaurus out and tell you a description on just how awful Vanderbilt's defense is, but I'm not going to waste your time, okay? They're bad. That's all you need to know. Joe Burrow went out there and took advantage of that, threw for almost 400 yards and a program record 6 touchdown passes. He had broke the record that he had shared with Zach Mettenberger that he set earlier this season. And, yeah, phenomenal night there for the Joe Burrow. Jamar Chase had an awesome night. Wide receiver just balled out of control. Jefferson hauled in a touchdown pass. Terrence Marshall looked good. And then he got injured. Now he's going to be out for at least a few weeks. He's not going to be out for the season, though. Okay, he had a breakout. He's had a breakout year this year, finally finding the end zone with multiple touchdowns so far this season. He'll be out for a little while, but he won't be lost for the year. So that's a good news there on that front for LSU. But 66 points, huge game. Huge game. And this is what Joe Burrow had to say about starting to see what they can do, starting to see and starting to believe that this offense with Joe Brady as the passing game coordinator, former New Orleans Saints assistant, Steve Ensminger as the OC, with Joe Burrow under center, or in shotgun, rather, with this offense, what they can do week in and week out.
We're starting to see that, you know, we can do this every game against every team. This is who we are as an offense. We're going to go try to score every time. We're going to throw the ball around, and we're going to throw it to open up the run. So I'm happy with where we are right now.
Happy with where we're at right now. That's what Joe Burrow had to say. They had a great start. The offense has looked awesome. They did not have a great opening drive. Coach O said as much after the game on Saturday, but Coach O, for the most part, was pleased with LSU's offense.
I have a lot of confidence in offense. Now, tonight, there were some protection issues. There were some, you know, when you win, you can pick everything apart. And obviously, winning the game is the most important thing, but there are some protection issues that we have to go over. I thought those two young running backs ran the ball well. We still need to get better running the football. Miles came in and did a good job. We can't throw that pick in the end, and we can't have the fumble.
Can't have the fumble. There was some miscues by the offense, but once again, Joe Burrow, 6 touchdowns. I mean, look, anytime you put up 66 points, it's a phenomenal day, right? It's a phenomenal day for your offense. Clyde Edwards-Helaire even got on the action, earned his third career 100-yard rushing game with 106 yards on 14 carries, including a 9-yard touchdown run. The Tigers nearly got 600 yards of offense. 600 yards of offense. But there is some concern by how the defense performed. They let Vanderbilt roll up 374 yards of offense. Vanderbilt. 374 yards of offense by Vandy. Not Alabama. Not Florida. Not Georgia. Vanderbilt. Vandy. 374 yards of offense. And I don't know. I know every week is, I know the offense being as high-powered and as up-tempo as it is, and the fact that they don't need a lot of time to score puts the defense in a bad position. I will agree with that. But the Vanderbilt running back Keyshawn Vaughn went off for 130 yards by himself on only 20 carries. Northwestern State, who had never scored a touchdown in LSU in history, scored two of them and did so with fairly ease there in the first half. And that's against a 1AA team that lost to a Division II school. LSU's offense is lights out. Phenomenal. Maybe the best offense in the country, right there with Oklahoma. But that defense, that defense makes me pause. And not because I'm trying to find something to look for. Because when I watch LSU play defense right now, where's the fundamentals? Where's the tackling? They don't tackle well. We've been told, scouts will tell you, they look at this team, they look at the talent that LSU has on the defensive side of the ball to start the season, they're like, all 11 of those guys could be drafted. Either this year or in the next 2 years. All 11 guys. So you're talking about an entire starting defensive unit that should be playing on Sundays. And they forgot how to tackle. That's a concern. They're out of position. What's going to happen when they face better competition? When they face not Northwestern State and Vanderbilt? What happens when they face Florida, Alabama, a now undefeated Auburn team, by the way, who's now sneakily good? Of course Auburn would be. Gus Malzahn's on the hot seat. Everyone thinks they're going to be garbage. Of course they're going to be good. And when everyone expects them to be good, they're garbage. Welcome to Auburn. What's going to happen? I'm not saying that this is a dire situation, but it's raising its head that they're being out of position. For one, they're not tackling worth a damn. That's two. And the third thing is, they're not healthy. Michael Divinity looks like he's going to be out for a while now. They're already nicked up. Todd Harris is out for the season. They've already lost some guys. Rashard Lawrence is nursing injuries. Benny Logan's. You have guys already nursing injuries in week three, in week four of the college football season. You've already lost one guy for the year. Michael Divinity may be lost for the year. We'll find out more about the severity of his injury. So you got injury issues, you have tackling issues, and you have not being in the right spot at the right time for coverage. And it's just not me. Because Coach O was quite ticked off about his defensive effort on Saturday. This is what Coach O had to say about the poor tackling. There's no excuse for it whatsoever.
No, we're not happy at all. You know, the first drive, we have a guy playing a four technique. He's got the B gap. He jumps into A gap. We got a three technique. He jumps into A gap, goes into B gap. So that had nothing to do with the offense. They run a bubble screen. We miss a tackle. That has nothing to do with the offense. So we can't make any excuses about tackling, blocking and tackling and fitting our gaps and hopefully getting some guys healthy. We need to get Kelvon Chasson healthy. We need to get Rashard Lawrence healthy. We need to get Glenn Logan healthy. We're basically playing with our second team D-line out there right now.
And they are basically playing with their second team. But if you're LSU, you should have a wealth of talent, right? Once again, offense is phenomenal. Will likely go down as the greatest offense in LSU program history once it's all said and done. Because they're not taking their foot off the pedal here with this offense. They're just not going to, nor should they. But you need to at least have some resemblance of a defense. And right now, if you're giving up 30-plus points to Vanderbilt, who has not won a game yet, and is considered by far the worst team in the Southeastern Conference, what's going to happen against Florida, Bama, Auburn? Could they still win those games? Absolutely. But I will say this. You're either going to be Oklahoma or you're going to be Clemson and Alabama. And the difference between Clemson and Alabama, who have dominated college football for the past half a decade and continue rotating who wins the national championship, and Oklahoma, who's always in the mix for winning the college, getting to the college football playoff, and is producing Heisman winners and has record-setting offenses there out of the Big 12. You know what the difference is between Oklahoma and Clemson and Alabama? Clemson and Alabama have defensive players that make plays. They get in shootouts with one another. They give up big chunks of yardage because this is the way the game is played now. Okay, you're not going to have 9-6 ball games like it used to be 10, 15 years ago, even in the SEC. But Clemson and Alabama have guys they send to the NFL to play on the defensive side of the football. They have playmakers on that side that step up and stop an offense on a third down. They get it. They get in shootouts. Those Clemson-Alabama games have been just phenomenal shootouts, the national championship games, where defenses get gassed. You saw Alabama-Georgia playing a championship game where defenses got gassed. Okay, they do. But you need to at least have some semblance of people on that side of the ball that can make plays and have a good enough defense. It doesn't need to be a top-5 ranked defense. It just needs to be a top-20 ranked defense. That's been the key for Clemson and Alabama. Great offenses now with top 20, top 25-like defenses. In that area, that's all you need to win national championships. Right now, LSU is like Oklahoma. Oklahoma's a great program. Oklahoma wins 10, 11, 12 games a year. Oklahoma's always in the mix for the college football playoff. Oklahoma has Heisman Trophy winners. Oklahoma doesn't win national championships. That's the difference, guys. That's the difference. I hate to be that guy right now to say that. They still have time to get the defense fixed and to get it turned around. But if you think for a moment that you can play the defense that you've played so far this season, like you did against Texas, where you gave up a ton of yards and a ton of points, like you did early on against Northwestern State, against a winless team from the 1AA level that lost to a Division II school, they scored more points against LSU than they did against the Division II team that they lost to the week before. Or the Vanderbilt Commodores, lovingly referred to in some circles as Commodores. If you think you can play that defense that you've played the last 3 weeks when you have to play Florida, Auburn, and Alabama, not going to happen. You're not going to win those games. Not going to win those games. The blueprint is out there. You have to have playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. LSU, we've been told, has 11 guys that could be in the NFL, that will be drafted into the NFL between now and the next 2 years. Can you honestly say they've played like it? Can you honestly say that they played like it? They've been out of position, they don't know how to tackle, and they're banged up. Now, can they get healthy? Absolutely, they can get healthy. Can they work on tackling? You would hope so. And it's not going to be an issue this week because they're on bye. It's not going to be an issue next week because they're playing Utah State. So they'll roll up. They'll be 5-0, top five team, 5-0, when Florida comes to town. That'll be a hell of a game. And can LSU win these games in shootouts? Absolutely. Is LSU right now overall probably a better team than Alabama? Maybe. Defense worries me, though. Defense worries me. More RP3 and Company, Saints, LSU talk. If you want to give us a call, look, pick up the phone. Dial the Arco Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. We'd be all more than happy to take your phone call. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Talked a little New Orleans Saints, going on the road, getting that victory against the Seattle Seahawks. Teddy Bridgewater was very efficient. Two touchdown passes, nearly 200 yards passing. No turnovers, no sacks. Offensive line played better. And they were able to overcome some false start penalties and some knucklehead penalties early on as a unit. Alvin Kamara had a huge game. Jared Cook did not. Kobe Fleener. 2.0. Just saying. Throwing it out there now. Kind of looks, it does. Yeah, that's a guy that, as someone tweeted out yesterday, he looks like a guy who got a contract. I got his money. He's like, yep, I got paid. Nope. Do I need to do anything out on the football field? Don't have to worry about that. No big deal. No big deal. I don't know about that, but maybe it's just taking him a little bit longer. I thought for sure you'd see Jarrett Cook featured more in the offense because Teddy Bridgewater used to utilize his tight end a lot when he was in Minnesota. You thought that that would be part of the offense, but I don't know, man. Jarrett Cook's dropping balls, not really fighting for position. I don't know. I'm not ready to throw him out. It's only been three games, right? But bringing in a pass-catching tight end and getting the best one on the free agency market was supposed to be an asset to this offense, and he has not made an impact whatsoever. Whatsoever. Yesterday, he had as many catches as Josh Hill, your backup blocking tight end. The backup blocking tight end had as many catches as your free agent pickup. Nah, I'm just saying. Just saying. That could be a concern moving forward. Could be a concern moving forward with Jared Cook. We'll ask our boy Barry Hurstis from Big Easy Magazine and the Saints News Network. He'll join us at 8:32, recapping the big road victory. And I'm going to ask him, obviously, about Jared Cook and if he is Kobe Fleener 2.0. A big road win for the team. We got a poll question up right now at 1037thegame.com. You can go check it out. Go vote. With his performance on Sunday, did Teddy Bridgewater prove his doubters wrong? Yes or no? It's up there. You can go vote right now. Once again, Sean Payton called a game and called offensive play calls that suited Teddy's skill set. Credit to Teddy. He got the ball out quicker than he did the week before. And they did so in the rain, and Alvin Kamara stepped up and had a big game. Look, if you're going to get that type of a deficiency from Teddy Bridgewater and Alvin Kamara playing at that level where he's going to get you about 150 all-purpose yards, the Saints are going to win a lot of games. They may not win all of them, but they could very easily in a six-game stretch with Drew Brees being out be at least 3-3, maybe now 4-2. If they're 4-2, woo. And have you seen the rest of the NFC South? I said it last week. Did you catch any of the rest of the NFC South? Did you see the Atlanta Falcons? The Atlanta Falcons have Julio Jones. And they found a way to go lose to Jacoby Brissett, quarterbacked Indianapolis Colts, yesterday. Falcons doing Falcons things. They don't even need it to be the Super Bowl to blow leads. They're like, it's the third week of the season. We got this. They're awful. Tampa Bay is awful. Carolina had some life in them yesterday with Kyle Allen at quarterback. But are you scared of any of those three teams? No. Saints are head and shoulders above all three of those teams. If Teddy Bridgewater, a balanced Teddy Bridgewater, efficient Teddy Bridgewater, and Alvin Kamara, if they can go out there and get the Saints to be 4-2 in a six-game stretch, woo, you're hosting a home playoff game, ladies and gentlemen, members of the Who Dat Nation. You're hosting a game. So we'll see. We got to take a timeout. You listen to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Good morning. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. You can also catch us on the Simulcast Stadium Network 32.1, as well as LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. That way you can see this big, beautiful mug in high definition, and why wouldn't you want to do that? That's an open-ended question. I shouldn't have asked that. That was a mistake. Tremendous show so far. We're going to talk a little Raging Cajun football with the UL legend himself, Damon Mason. The Raging Cajuns, Billy Napier and his squad went on the road, got a big win there at Ohio, kind of held on for the win, but was able to get away, get a win on the road there against the Bobcats. 3-1 now overall. We'll talk about the Raging Cajuns and that big road victory with our boy Damon Mason. That'll be coming up at 7:32. We also talked a little LSU football. We will talk a little Houston Astros baseball, but let's keep the New Orleans Saints discussion going. If you want to chime in about the Hoodats getting the win on the road at the Seattle Seahawks, give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. Love to hear from you. Get your thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater, Alvin Kamara, the defense, and everything else like that. Someone tweeted at us about the garbage time touchdown. That's right. I said it didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things unless you're playing fantasy. This person tweeted at us and made sure to let us know that. Lewis, can you share with us what this individual shared? By the way, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ray.
There we go. So who wanted to comment on my statement that it didn't really matter? I should have known better as a fantasy football player. It did, in fact, matter.
This man's name is Marcus. Shout out to Marcus for listening to the show, by the way.
Yes.
Best morning sports show ever in the country. But I may be biased. Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
So Marcus said, also, he might be a Russell Wilson fantasy owner, by the way. Let's keep this in mind. A score is a score, regardless of how much time is left on the clock. I'm sure fantasy owners aren't complaining. Hashtag three, hashtag top five QB.
That's hashtag he, Marcus, had Russell Wilson starting for his fantasy football team, and that garbage time touchdown gave him four touchdowns. That's an extra 6 points. Also eclipsed 400 yards. That probably gave him another bonus points if he's playing in a PPR league. So, yes, that counted a lot for his fantasy football
matchup. Look, big shout-out to Marcus, though, for listening to the show. Okay, big shout-out. And I'm surprised no one has called about me being wrong on two out of the three predictions that I had.
I mean, let's talk about that, shall we?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Let's discuss
it.
We
got some time.
So you tweeted out what were our predictions? I think I have them right here. Hold on, let's see what we said. We made our predictions on Friday about how we feel that the games would go down over the weekend. And let's see here. Oh, here we go. Here we go. I have them right in front of me. Don't listen. You're doing so much as it is. We said for UL at Ohio, you said Ohio 31-24. I said UL 38-31. LSU at Vandy, we both picked obviously LSU. You said 42-10. I said 45-17. Neither one of us thought LSU would give up 30 plus points to Vanderbilt. And then Saints at Seahawks. You said the 12th man of the Pacific Northwest would win 20-17. I said the Saints would win 27-24. Yet here you are, and a glorious Saints football shirt on, proudly wearing it, rocking your team. So go ahead. Now it's your time to ask for forgiveness to the members of the Who Dat Nation for picking against your beloved Saints.
I stand by my conviction. I stand by my predictions.
I love it.
Also, thank you for revealing my bias. Yes, the camera's not on me. The camera's on Ray. Tomocast, by the way. You can see Ray.
There we go.
32.1. All right. Anyway, revealing my bias with the Saints shirt. I didn't account for. Someone should have told me. Now, you said Russell Wilson was going. If you said to people, Russell Wilson would throw for over 400 yards, account for 450 yards and four touchdowns, the Seahawks would have won. But if you would have told me that their running back, Carson, was going to slip 10 times in the game, I would have picked the Saints.
He did.
I would have known.
He just kept falling down. You would think a guy that plays in Seattle would have been able to, you know, handle his business a little bit better there. He was, he looked lost, man. He looked lost. He looked awful. He kept falling down.
As far as my predictions go, I'll do better this week. That's all I could say.
Oh,
I can only do better this week. And I can only, there's only going up from here. I got two out of the three wrong. I guess I could go 0-3, but I don't see that in my future. We're going 3-0 this week, Ray. I believe in myself.
My man says he's going 3-0.
Yeah,
I love it.
We're going 3-0. And anything else you want to predict?
So you're saying, what you're telling me is that you're going to pull an RP3. You're going to go 3-0.
Yeah, you went 3-0. You went with the homer calls, though. And, you know, that's totally fine because they were reasonable. Louisiana was riding that momentum into Ohio, and they got the win. Big win. 45-25? And then with the Saints, you could have said anything. Look, Eric Narcisse, before we had him on the show on Friday, we were talking. He was like, of course this would be the game that the Saints won, and it's without Drew Brees. And you know what? He's right. And I was like, the NFL's so weird. I could see that happening.
It's so weird.
And guess what had happened? Hmm? A punt return for a touchdown?
A defensive fumble return or fumble recovery for a touchdown?
That makeup call? Makeup? The
You would hope, but that's the crazy thing about the NFL is that this happens every single week. There's always a team that kind of goes, well, they had another game, too, that was wildly predicted to go one way, and it ended up going another. I think it was the Eagles game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was about to say the Lions beat the Eagles on the road. Now, the Eagles are banged up, but the Lions are undefeated, by the way, guys.
Sneaky.
Yeah.
Sneaky undefeated Detroit Lions. Now, they're the Lions, so we know what's going to happen here. We know what's going to happen with Detroit. It happens every time.
I always like to see what team starts out hot, like 6-0, 5-0, but then they end up 8-8 or 7-9, and that could absolutely be the Detroit Lions.
No, that's always happens to be the Detroit. Good start for them, by the way. Shout out to Tracy Walker, former Raging Cajun.
Absolutely.
He's a starter for Detroit, and he's been playing at a very high level. You never do know. If you want to give us your thoughts about the New Orleans Saints, or if you want to talk LSU or Cajuns, feel free to call the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. Saints, they got to 2-1. Things will get far more difficult and challenging this week. Russell Wilson put up 400 yards and four touchdowns. Dak Prescott can do the same. And Cowboys come to town. And that's another team that, traditionally speaking, has always had New Orleans' number for whatever reason. They just have. Even when the Cowboys are mediocre, they still find a way to beat the Saints. There's a couple of those teams that are that way. Remember how the Redskins were awful that year and they found a way to beat New Orleans the year they won the Super Bowl, right? There's always some teams. Dallas, it's a rivalry, I guess. I've never been able to fully buy into Cowboys Saints rivalry because the real rivals are like Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Carolina. You know, back in the day, it used to be San Francisco because San Francisco, the Saints would win 10 games and not make the postseason back in the day because Joe Montana and the freaking 49ers would win 12 games, okay, and win the division. Cowboys, I don't know if that's a rivalry, but everyone hates Dallas, so it kind of works out, right? They're America's team. And they're also the team that the rest of the NFL and the rest of the fan bases love to hate. Let's head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Oh, man, we're going to start off our week. Woo, we're going to start it off on the right foot because halftime has called us. Halftime, good morning to you, brother. How you doing?
Come on, RPC. I wanted to make a comment about the Saints win, but before I do that, I'll just listen to what you were saying with the Cowboys and the Saints. I have to comment on that. That rivalry, that's more of a fan base rivalry.
There we go.
That's what it is. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to leave off the NFL just for a second. It's the same thing with the LSU-Alabama. LSU-Alabama, that's a fan rivalry. Auburn and Alabama, that's a rivalry. That's a rivalry. LSU and Alabama is a fan rivalry. Same thing with the Cowboys and the Saints. That's just a fan rivalry because you have so many people that live in this area that moved it to, over there to Texas and moved to Dallas and Houston area. And it's just families. You know, that's what it is. It's just a fan rivalry. But to go back on the Saints win, looking at social media, I just got so aggravated. Let's enjoy the win. I've seen so many comments about, well, the defense won the game. You're still talking bad about Teddy Bridgewater. My thing is, let's just enjoy the win. Teddy Bridgewater did his job. Basically, everybody on the team did their job. And that's how you win games. You do your job. As far as for this quarterback play, it takes a team to win. X, who, if he had probably won one Super Bowl, everybody would have been saying he's the greatest quarterback ever. X, Dan Marino, a team has to win. Again, if he had won a Super Bowl, he'd probably been the greatest quarterback ever. He's not the greatest ever because he didn't win a Super Bowl. And he'll say, I've seen interviews with him, he'll say he really wouldn't like that Super Bowl.
Okay, great. I was just looking at the comment, and then I actually...
Thanks, Halftime. Appreciate it, man. Halftime makes a great point, and I've said this before. People want to hate on Teddy Bridgewater. I don't get it. Did Teddy play poorly last week against the Rams? Sure. So did the rest of the team. Offensive line was awful. Running backs couldn't get open. Wide receivers were dropping balls. Defense was letting the Rams wide receivers run all over him in the second half. Okay? Teddy looked good. Teddy looked efficient. He looked poised. He got the ball out quicker. He looked better. And they won. Once again, Teddy Bridgewater does not have to be Drew Brees. No one's going to be Drew Brees. But if you can have your starting quarterback go out there and throw for 200 yards a game, couple touchdowns, no picks, no lost fumbles, you're going to win a lot of games. You're going to win a lot of games. Lewis.
Yes, I just got a call from Ethan, and he has a little fact check for you on the Redskins comment about the Saints losing to the Redskins in 2009.
Was it not the Super Bowl year?
He was correct. So the Saints won in 2009 against the Washington Redskins 33-30 on that Garrett Hartley
goal. Oh, that's right.
In overtime.
That's right.
Just a little bit of a producer note for you.
No, that's good. That's good. All right. I'd remember that wrong. I think it was maybe the year after.
I will check that. But thank
because
you.
Because I was at a game. It might have been 2009. Might have been too later. I'm old. I went to a game that the Saints were projected to win, and Jason Campbell was the quarterback for the Redskins. And me and my buddy Mike Doyle, the pride of Bayou Chico, went to the game. And he was like, "Man, we lost to the Redskins again." And the Redskins were awful that year. Like they were like a 5 or 6 win team that year. Producer Louis Prejean's looking it up.
Thank you to Ethan for the call.
Thank you, Ethan. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. They did win that game because it was a Hartley field goal game. That's right. But even that year, the Redskins weren't very good. That's right. Cowboys? We'll see. Dallas has been in absolute pain in the tuchus for the Saints. Now, Cowboys are undefeated. Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper. They got some weapons. We know that. Defense is pretty salty too, right? Sunday night football. The Dome should be electric. Should be absolutely electric. So we'll see. We'll find out on Sunday. But regardless, Saints are 2-1. Teddy Bridgewater looked good, looked efficient. Saints fan, be happy. You're 2-1. And the rest of your division
is flaming garbage. So even if Teddy Bridgewater only guides the Saints to a 500 record while Drew Brees is out, you'll probably still be leading the NFC South by two games. Just saying. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. Talk a little Houston Astros baseball. Woo, take it back. Three in a row. AL West crowns. We'll talk about it right here on KDN Sports Station.
Give them three. George Springer, a line drive home run. He has been all the offense today. The Astros lead it 4-2. Springer with three home runs. We're only in the fourth. One man wrecking crew.
George Springer. Springer dinger. Three home runs yesterday. Astros take care of them Halos that came to town. And you know what they did, Lewis? They only won their third straight American League West Division title. Just like that. One of the best teams in baseball. And they'll wrap up the regular season this week on the road, unfortunately. That was our final game, regular season game at home, was against those Halos. They'll be off tonight for travel, but Astros will get back to things with a two-game set at the Mariners Tuesday and Wednesday. You can listen to both of those games right here on 103.7 The Game because they're on the West Coast. They'll be late. Astros at Mariners on Wednesday, pregame 8:35, first pitch 9:10. Astros at Mariners on Wednesday, pregame at 9 o'clock, first pitch at 9:10. The Houston Astros look like the best team in baseball. I know, Los Angeles Dodger fan. I know. I know you're going to, well, we're the best team in baseball. Well, this is what I have to say to you, Dodger fan. And I'm not even an Astros fan. I was born and raised in the land of Dale Murphy. So I'm a diehard Braves fan. By the way, my team is the National League East champion. Hey, how'd that signing Bryce Harper go for you, Phillies? Take that, Philly fan. But I digress. Dodgers haven't won a World Series in this great run that they've had. So until you do, I'm not going to consider you to be the best team in baseball. You can have the best record. But the Astros, the majority of these guys that are playing for the Astros, they know what it takes to win a World Series championship. Los Angeles Dodgers do not. They do not. But the Astros, look, they look absolutely phenomenal. Verlander's going to get one more start this week. That will try to get him to the 20-win plateau, as well as career strikeout total 3,000. That could occur both this week in his final regular season start of the season. Gerrit Cole is nipping at his heels for the Cy Young. Now, do you have concerns about Wade Miley? Maybe. He didn't look great over the weekend after he had that bounce-back performance. But once again, when you get to the postseason, you're more than likely going to go with a three-man rotation. So it's going to be Verlander, Cole, and Zach Greinke. Wade Miley will be just a fill-in guy to work a couple innings probably coming out of the bullpen. So you got the American League Cy Young Award winner, whether that's going to be Verlander or Cole. You're going to have 1-2 in that race. You're going to have the American League Rookie of the Year, Yordan Alvarez, the 22-year-old Cuban phenom. By the way, also Dodgers, you traded Alvarez to the Astros for like a bag of chips, honestly. And you can make an argument about Alex Bregman. I still think Mike Trout is going to win the award for American League MVP, but I think Bregman's going to close the gap. It's going to be close. It's going to be closer, rather. It's going to be closer would be the better way of describing that. But we'll see. Maybe voters will look at, hey, let's give the MVP award to someone who's actually in the postseason and not a bazillion games under 500. Once again, baseball is the only sport that does this. NFL, NBA do not award their most valuable player awards to individuals who are not on playoff teams. They just don't. Baseball. Sticking to their guns, though. Astros, three in a row. Ladies and gentlemen, three in a row when it comes to the AL West Division crown. Wrap up the regular season this week. They'll get back to action Tuesday and Wednesday with a two-game set against the Seattle Mariners, followed by their regular season finale series at the Los Angeles Angels. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, the UL Raging Cajun legend, Damon Mason, will join us talking about the Cajuns' big victory over Ohio. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Good morning. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. I'm your host, Raymond Parse III. I'm joined by the producer extraordinaire, Louis Prejean, and we appreciate you making us part of your morning commute. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. You can also find us on the simulcast Stadium Network 32.1, as well as LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. We've talked a lot about the New Orleans Saints, who'd ask getting the win on the road with Teddy Bridgewater leading the way. We also talked about LSU getting a win over Vanderbilt, despite some defensive issues, health, and poor tackling. But right now, it's time for us to talk about the other big win over the weekend, and that occurred in Athens, Ohio, as the UL Raging Cajuns went on the road and defeated one of the best teams in the MAC, the Ohio Bobcats, did so with a strong defensive effort early on and a tremendous ground game. They're able to hold on to pull off that victory on the road to get to 3-1 overall on the season, heading into conference play this Saturday at Georgia Southern. We're going to talk all about that with our next guest. He's a member of the UL Athletic Hall of Fame. His jersey has been retired, ladies and gentlemen. He is a Raging Cajun football legend, and he joins us every Monday. It's the one and only Damon Mason. Damon, good morning to you, brother. How are you?
RP3, good morning, man. I'm good. And yourself?
Doing well, doing well. So first thoughts, man, when you watched a little bit of the game, you got to kind of look over things, read the stories, look at the comments and everything like that, Damon. What'd you make of the Raging Cajuns going on the road, going across the country, and taking down those Ohio Bobcats to get to 3-1, their best start to a season since 2012?
That's big time. That's big time football for a big time program, bigger than it was when I was there. Very impressed. All phases of the game, offense, defense, and even special teams got into the act. If I'm not mistaken, they recovered a fumble. You know, and of course, great coaching and the coaching. The things that I've heard about Coach Napier when he first was hired, being, you know, I guess I want to say an offensive, you know, you want to say geez, because I know he wouldn't like that. But the man has a great offensive scheme, and they are consistently putting up big points on the board. So, and the defense showed up this week. It showed this week. So I was very impressed. Like I said, reading the comments, saw a couple of highlights and stuff like that. And of course, looking at the stats. You know, secondary got into the game, three interceptions, especially by number nine. So I love seeing that. So it's excellent.
We're talking with UL Raging Cajun legend Damon Mason. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Damon, talk a little bit about, you know, things started off a little bit slow in this game, but they were able to ratchet up. And defensively, let's talk about that, because obviously that was your bread and butter, my friend. Defensively, they held them to like maybe 60 yards on their first four drives, punts left and right, and then only held them to a couple of field goals there in the first half. What were they doing defensively that was working so well?
You know, I don't have to say just based from knowledge, as you guys know, every week, you know, not able to see the game by reading the stats, reading the stats, comments, and highlights. You know, and I just honestly feel RPG in my heart that they played with heart. They was more confident. They were sound in their technique, and that's evident because, you know, these are things that players hear from year to year. I've heard it all my entire career, and it's more evident because I realized that. At one point, it was 31-18. Then again, ended up being 45-25. So at some point in time, you lose your focus. You lose your, you know, the way you start the game. You know, we always try to finish the game the way we start the game. So it's a great thing that the kids have started off fast on defense. That's why it's offense. They started off fast on defense, got three interceptions. I think they only had one sack. You know, so they was able to fix some of the mistakes, which is going to be needed this week because this team is a pretty good run game, and you have to be disciplined to play against a team like Georgia Southern.
We're talking with Damon Mason, the UL Athletics Hall of Famer. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Damon, what'd you make of the fact that they were able to run the ball? Look, that's their strength of this team, able to run the ball as well as they do. We know this. And mm-hmm. Eliza Mitchell led the way with nearly 150 yards on the ground. Trey Regas had over 100 yards on the ground. Right. Those guys were averaging nearly 9 yards a pop combined together, right. Man. And look, when you have that type of running game and that offensive line blocks the way it does, it takes the pressure off of Levi Lewis, who had an efficient, good game, not great game. And Damon, mm-hmm. this is my question. Can the Raging Cajuns accomplish all of their goals that they want to this year if Levi Lewis is just a good quarterback and not a great quarterback based on what they have personnel-wise?
I think so. I mean, the first time he asked me that question about Levi Lewis and the Cajun, the game plan, the goals for the season, you know, but his efficiency. Well, just based on, I think they have a better identity. Of course, we all know what they wanted to do, what Coach Napier wanted to do. But now I think they are coming to their own. I mean, to be more specific, you look at it, Mitchell had 17 carries for 143, three touchdowns. Regas, that other number nine, he had 15 carries for 129 and one touchdown. I'm sorry that the other three-headed monster, Khalil, didn't get some big numbers, but, hey, it's a team sport, you know. So, and again, Levi Lewis had 19 for 24. 188 for two touchdowns. So not a lot of yards by your receivers, but when you have a running game like that, offensive line blocking, as you said, you don't have to pass if you don't need to pass. You know, so, you know, is you give your opponents a lot to worry about. So if they keep doing what they're doing, you know, the offense continue to build and get into that playbook with Coach Napier and execute everything that he demands of them and expects of them, man, they're going to be – it don't matter who they play. Now, you know, I keep saying it. It don't matter who they play. I think our offense can score against anybody, especially if they buy into what Coach Napier gives them from week to week.
We're talking with Damon Mason, the UL Athletics Hall of Famer, Raging Cajun football legend. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Dame, you know, they go on the road. Now, Ohio made a game of it late, helped mm-hmm. out by a few defensive pass interference calls that went against the Raging Cajuns, which obviously is frustrating. Talk about defensively, though, you know, Kamar Greenhouse, the young man out of Marksville, he came up with a huge interception there in the game. They came up with some other big stops, forced some turnovers. Are you liking the progression that you're seeing on that side of the ball?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it, especially for me being a secondary guy, when you see your secondary putting up three interceptions a game, should I say this last game, you're very impressed. They're seeing some things differently. You know, there hasn't been an interception since, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be totally wrong. But, again, three interceptions, you know, when the team has to pass, it's evident to not want to get interceptions. Because, honestly, for me, interceptions come a dime a dozen. Tackling is done every play, which gives you the opportunity to cause fumbles every play. You know, so I love to see the defense as a whole, as I said once before, to try to attack that football and kick the football violently from the ball carrier, because that's something you can do every play. Interceptions come a dime a dozen. But the discipline was there. Pass interference, you know, it could go both ways, you know, and it's really hard for me not seeing the game. But when you got a team down like that, regardless, you don't want to give them an easy way out. And I'm a remake, and I'm going to go back. Interceptions is about discipline. If you got good coverage, you know, trust your techniques, trust your abilities, and be smart. If you're a beat, don't hurt your team, you know. But then again, the flip side, once again, is I would rather take a pass interference than give up an easy touchdown. You know, so there's always a different side to the coin.
We're talking with the UL Athletics Hall of Famer, the Raging Cajun legend, Damon Mason. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Dame. If I would ask you before the start of the season that the Raging Cajuns would have looked good, especially in the second half versus a team out of the SEC, they would lose that game, but they would look good in the second half.
try to make a little bit of a comeback and play tough there in the second half. And then they would go on to win their next three games before conference play. Would you believe that?
Yes, without a doubt. For two reasons, two main reasons. One, you know, being a Red Cajun, I love when people dine at us. And I can't not be a Red Cajun or even a Red Cajun great, former Red Cajun, and to not sit there and support my team knowing that I was once in that same predicament. You know what I'm saying? So I'm never going to doubt them. Secondly, and probably most importantly, is Coach Napier. You know, I say often on social media that when I speak to him, you know, the times, the opportunities I have, is there's something about him. Is he's so energetic. Even talking about him right now gets me fired up. You know, his confidence is it eats through his pores, if they even make sense to you. You know what I'm saying? So for me to feel that way, and I've always said it, if these young men would just listen to this coach and his staff and buy into what he's bringing to the tables, you know, we've seen it right now. So, yes, you know, I felt that from him. And all they had to do was just listen. Take heed to what coach is giving them. Try the best of their God-given abilities to accomplish everything that the standard that and the foundation that he's laying down for this Raging Kitchen team. Man, I'm not surprised at all that they're being this successful.
Talking with Damon Mason, UL Athletics Hall of Famer, Raging Cajun legend. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Okay, Dame, they're in a great position. Levi Lewis has proven to be an efficient quarterback. That they have a monstrous backfield, as we know, and defense is improving. Georgia Southern is up next. That's Saturday, 5 o'clock kick there out in Georgia. What did Raging Cajuns have to do, Dame, to get that win? They got to go up against a triple option offense, which is tough to game plan for, especially during the season. Mm-hmm. And this is a Georgia Southern team that won 10 games a year ago in a bowl game. Not to say that they can't win this game. What I want from you, though, what do they need to do to get that win and stop that triple option offense, which you know how to slow down and how to face? It can be difficult.
Yes, sir. But it can be stopped. And it's going to take discipline. It's going to take responsibility, it's going to take accountability, and it's going to take being physical on both sides. Offense, do what you do. Continue to pound the rock, throw the ball when you have to. Levi, be efficient. Listen to Coach Napier. He's going to put you guys in a position to be successful. But defense, discipline. And all that everything I just said goes with discipline. You know, triple option, so there's three individuals, quarterback, two running backs. That's assignment football. Assignment football. Trust your teammates to do their job, but at the same time, each individual got to do your job. So whoever is spying the quarterback, stay with the quarterback. Whoever is keying the dive man, stay with the dive man. Whoever has the pitch, stay with the pitch. And most important, secondary, your responsibility is pass first. Think about it. If they're running football, they got to go along with the running football. But if you try to put a run and it's a pass, it's an easier goal to score a touchdown if it's a pass. So your job is to play pass first, run second. See, assignment football. And if they do what their coaches tell them to do, if they study film, study film, study film. This was taught in high school. That's why I'm speaking this way, RP3, is I love people think they could just run the football. As you already know, I love tackling. So triple option, be disciplined, be accountable, be sound in your technique, trust your teammates, do your job, be physical, and we will win.
Damon, get us out with this, brother. Give me your prediction. What you got for Saturday? I know it's early, but I know you love your Raging Cajuns. So what you got Saturday? Conference opener, Sun Belt Conference, UL at Georgia Southern. What you got, my man?
35-14, we win.
35-14?
Yes.
I love it. I love it. It is Monday morning, and my man is ready to go. He is ready to give the halftime speech or the pregame speech for his Raging Cajuns. David, love it, brother. Love it. Enjoy yourself this week, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you, guys. See you guys next week.
It's Damon Mason, the UL Athletics Hall of Famer, Raging Cajun football legend. My man said the Raging Cajuns are going to go into Statesboro, Georgia, on Saturday against that triple option, against a team that won 10 games a year ago, and say, not so fast. 35-14. 14, Damon Mason. Giving us that knowledge right there. Got to love it. We unfortunately have to take a quick timeout, but when we return, woo, more RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. You listen to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. And you can give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline if you'd like, 337-706-0111. That's 337-706-0111. We've talked Raging Cajuns, we've talked LSU football, we've talked the Hoodats, and we've talked Houston Astros. You want to comment on any of those things, pick up the phone and holla at your boy. That's all you got to do. Got Jeff Palermo coming up at the top of the hour, final hour of the day from the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio, which you can listen to here every Tuesday on 103.7 The Game. Boy, I asked him the tough questions about the Tigers and that defense. Coach O, not happy about that tackling. Going to be working on tackling drills during the bye week. Not exactly what you want to be working on this time of the year. Just saying. Saints got the big win. We asked you to go vote on our poll question right there at 1037thegame.com. We need to know from you, ladies and gentlemen. With his performance on Sunday, as Teddy Bridgewater proved his doubters wrong. There's plenty of doubters of Teddy Bridgewater. Some callers, some people on the social media, some people that work here at Delta Media. Mm-hmm. You know who you are. Teddy got it done. Once again, not sensational. Not a Drew Brees-like performance. Doesn't need to be. This team is talented enough for Teddy just to be an efficient quarterback and be the best version of himself to win ball games. That's all you need to do. You don't earn extra points for style. You don't pick up extra points. They don't give the Lombardi trophy out if you beat someone by 30 points and throw for 350 yards. Not how it works. It's the best team wins. The best team wins. And as long as you win the ball game, that is all that matters. That is all that matters. Let's head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline quickly. Matt, good morning to you, brother. Thank you for joining us. What's on your mind?
Morning, boss. Hey, man, just want to comment on the Teddy Bridgewater thing. And honestly, I think this is kind of a typical Saints fan thing. Saints fans like to pile on whenever things are going wrong and kind of fear the worst, maybe because of history. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. But
that's fair.
Yeah. I am a Vikings fan, actually. Have been for a long time. But I remember Teddy Bridgewater up there, and he was a solid starting quarterback. He was a starting quarterback in this league. He did well. He did not lose games. He's not going to lose you games. He's going to hold the ship together. Saints fans, just relax. It's going to be fine. Don't pile on him. Support him. And that's pretty much all I got to say about it.
Appreciate the phone call, brother. Thank you, man. Thank you to Matt, Vikings fan. He knows what Teddy Bridgewater brings to the table. Don't pile on Teddy. He's an efficient quarterback. He'll get the job done for you while Drew is out. That's all Matt's saying. And I agree with Matt. Appreciate the phone call, Matt. We got to take our final timeout of this hour. More RP3 and Company coming up right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. Good morning. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. I am your host, Raymond Parts III. I'm joined by the producer extraordinaire, Louis Prejean. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. We've talked a lot on today's program about the New Orleans Saints. Hoodats went on the road, got the victory in Seattle in the rain. Teddy Bridgewater proved to be an efficient quarterback, and the sky was not falling after all. You can make sure to go vote on our latest poll question at 1037thegame.com. With his performance on Saturday, did Teddy Bridgewater prove his doubters wrong, yes or no? please go vote right now. We've covered a lot of ground. Raging Cajuns got a big win on the road. Saints got the big win on the road. And another team that got a win on the road to open up SEC play was the LSU Tigers. We've talked a little bit about it, but now we're going to dive deeper in with our next guest. He is part of the Louisiana Radio Network. He's also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio, which you can listen to every Tuesday night right here on 103.7 The Game. He joins us every Monday. It's our good friend, the one and only Jeff Palermo. Jeff, good morning to you. How you doing, brother?
Doing well, sir. How about yourself?
I am doing outstanding. So let's get right to it. Will Joe Burrow break every single passing record known in LSU history this year?
Every single season record. I don't see how he, unless there's an injury, of course. But I mean, he's going to break all the single season records. I mean, the single season record is 3,347 yards from Rohan Davey in 2001. And then the touchdowns, Jamarcus Russell and Matt Mock each share that with 28.
Oh, that's going down.
Yeah, that's going down. So, yeah, I mean, all those records, and it's not going to take much longer here for him to break these records. I mean, this is, it really is amazing. And, you know, we've watched it now for four games, and while you get a sense that, hey, this is the new offense, right, that they're going to throw the football around and they're going to be explosive, it just gets better and better each time, it seems like, just because of and they always seem to break some sort of record. This time, you know, six touchdown passes in a game, that's the single game record, breaks his own record that he tied when he threw for five touchdown passes, and then he throws for 357 yards in the first half, which sets a record. And so pretty impressive. So he's got 1,500 yards now. He's pretty much halfway to Rohan Davies' mark, and the 17 touchdowns, I mean, he'll probably break that sometime in October. He'll get past the previous record set by Jamarcus Russell and Matt Mock. So, yeah, those records are going down, and yeah, I mean, if he had another couple more years in him, he certainly would eclipse Tommy Hodson, who got 9,115 yards for a career, and that took him 4 years to get to that number.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo, the Louisiana Radio Network. He's also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio, which you can listen to every Tuesday night right here on 103.7 The Game. Jeff, let's talk about the wide receiving core. What's the latest on Terrace Marshall? He's having a tremendous year, breakout season for him. I know he's going to be injured, but he's not going to miss the rest of the year, right? He will come back.
Yeah, they think he might miss about a month is what we're hearing. He underwent surgery yesterday on his fractured foot. So, obviously he got a bye week, but it looks like he'll miss the Utah State game when they come back, the Florida game and the Mississippi State game. They can get him back by the time they play Auburn. That would be huge. I think that's probably what they'll be hoping for, is to get him back for the game against Auburn. When you look ahead to the schedule coming up here, Ray, I mean, I think the bye week comes at a good time because you got a lot of injuries here. You know, Michael Divinity went down. Haven't really heard much there other than Coach O thought that was going to be an injury that is going to result in some time loss. Glenn Logan and Rashard Lawrence are close to getting back. The bye week helps at this point. Justin Jefferson had an injury in this game against Vanderbilt, so he needs a week away. He needs a week off here to get back at it. And then plus, with all the missed assignments and the poor tackling that we saw against Vanderbilt, I think this defense needs a little bit of a boot camp session this open week. Get them back in the right frame of mind. They got to get some guys healthy. There's no doubt about that. Because the schedule, once they get past Utah State, the schedule toughens up. And Utah State's got a prolific offense as well. I mean, we're talking about one of the top passing teams in the country statistically. So LSU's defense, even though they're going to be playing a school from a group of five, they're not getting a break when they come back from the bye week taking on a team like Utah State.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Let's talk a little bit more about that defense, because, Jeff, I never thought I'd see the day covering this team that we would be talking about at the quarter point of the season that the defense seems to be the biggest liability for this team. And the tackling is mind-blowing. I understand that they have injuries on that side of the ball. I get that. But when I watch them play, before the start of the season, it was, there's 11 guys that could play in the NFL. And that could still be the case. But they're not tackling. And I don't understand how they're out of position and how they are not tackling. This is an LSU defense, Jeff. It is mind-blowing to me watching them play defense and giving up 30-plus points to the worst offensive team in the SEC.
Yeah, and it's just you can't pin it all on injuries. I think you'd like to if you're an LSU fan, because in the game against Georgia Southern, when they had all their horses, and you know, obviously when you play an option team like Georgia Southern, tackling is such a big concern going into that game. But they played so well, and they smothered Georgia Southern. If I remember, Georgia Southern didn't even have over 100 yards of total offense.
No,
but,
yeah.
The last three games have been tough for this defense. And, again, I don't think you can pin it all on injuries, because you watch a guy like Grant Delpit, who's a top 10 pick in the NFL, and he's missing a couple of tackles here and there. So that's not a good sign for you. Now, will it improve maybe once you get Rashard Lawrence and Glenn Logan out there and these linebackers get a little set as far as what you know, what they're supposed to do? Maybe so. I think we're seeing the loss of Devin White. I think that's a big part of it. The guy was such a tackling machine, going sideline to sideline, and I think they're missing that kind of guy. I think they're missing that kind of guy to make sure everybody's on the right page as far as the missed assignments go. So it's certainly something that they can fix. Is fatigue playing a part of this too? They're not having the opportunity anymore, Ray, with this offense scoring touchdowns at such a fast pace. They're not getting as much time to sit there and rest and to go over any adjustments that they need to make. So I think these are all part of the new LSU that we're seeing right now. I think I still have a feeling that this defense can tighten things up, that it is not as bad as what we've seen here the last 3 weeks. I think that's why this bye week really comes at a good time. It gives them a chance to really look at the tape here, look at the mistakes that they've made, go on the practice field, try to correct them without game planning necessarily for a good team. And again, they'll get tested when they come out of that bye. Utah State, they're averaging 367 yards passing a game. So this will be a good test for them, and to see exactly where they stand at this point before they really – the schedule toughens up and they start playing all SEC teams from here on out.
We're talking with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network. He's also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio, which you can listen to here every Tuesday on 103.7 The Game. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Jeff, let's talk about the offense, because I'm curious to get your take on this. These wide receivers were the same wide receivers that played last year. The quarterback's the same quarterback that played last year. Offensive line's the same offensive line, okay? Steve Ensminger was the offensive coordinator last year. Is this all just the addition of Joe Brady, and how much does Brady really have in the play calling, in how the game plan is constructed? Because this is going to be a record-setting offense, and you essentially have the same team and the same pieces that you did a year ago.
Yeah, but I think you got experience, and I think that plays a big part of it. And Joe Brady is certainly a big part of it as well. I mean, he's brought a lot of different concepts to this team offensively that they were searching for. His time there, I mean, he didn't spend that much time. You know, we keep referring to him as comes over from the Saints. It wasn't like the guy was there for 5-10 years learning under Sean Payton. I mean, he obviously learned a lot. And retained a lot of the knowledge that he got working under Coach Sean Payton and offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael, and he's brought it to LSU. And you got to go back to last year in that Joe Burrow didn't have the benefit heading into that 2018 season of going through spring football. I mean, his first practice with LSU was in August. And you watch this offense, I mean, there is some complexity to it. I mean, there's you could tell there's a lot of different reads that the quarterback has to make and a lot of different decisions. And it's good by Joe Burrow. He's recognizing where the open man is supposed to be on the field, and he's hitting them. And that's why you're seeing the yards after the catch like you're seeing, especially in this game against Vanderbilt. But I think if Joe Brady came in last year and you had all these same pieces, as you mentioned, I don't think they would be nearly as prolific as they are right now. Plus, you got a healthy Terrence Marshall. He had a Jamar Chase, who's a freshman. He's just figured out where, you know, his classes are at. Justin Jefferson really had not emerged at that point. But now you got a year of all these guys. You got all of spring football, all of preseason camp, and now you're a month into the regular season and you're starting to see it. Experience means so much. And that's why I say I think this defense can get better as the season goes along, especially with these linebackers and the defensive secondary just playing together. You know, Devin White was much better his junior season than he was his sophomore season. Just that year of experience really mattered. You know, you can when you're missing a guy for a game or two, I think you can cover that up. But when the guy is not there at all for games or practices, I think you have a hard time trying to cover that up, and mistakes are going to be made. And, you know, with this LSU offense, these guys have been together, and you can just tell they've worked on their craft, they've worked on their skill. The time during the summer where these guys were just off on their own going through plays, the chemistry there is just something else. And you kind of you saw that, too, when Zach Mettenberger, Jarvis Landry, and Odell Beckham were together for a second consecutive year. The ability that, you know, Mettenberger threw some passes when those guys were just breaking their routes and they would catch it, you could just tell that there was a familiarity with everyone there. And that's what you got with this LSU offense right now. Plus, the addition of Joe Brady is just kind of the icing on the cake.
We're wrapping things up here with Jeff Palermo of the Louisiana Radio Network. He's also co-host of Tiger Rag Radio. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Jeff, Ingram's been reinstated to the team. We've been told that he's in good shape, but is he in football shape is a totally different scenario. What do we expect to see him back on the field for the Tigers, and in what capacity?
Well, I think he's going to play guard somewhere. I think they're going to try to get this guy back out on the field as much as possible. And here's another reason why the bye week comes at a good time. I think this gives them an opportunity to figure out where they can fit Ed Ingram into this team. I mean, for one, there's certainly a depth issue on that O-line. I mean, they don't have that many guys, so getting him back should help. You know, right now at guard, you got Damian Lewis and Adrian McGee. Is Ingram is he going to be better than Adrian McGee? I mean, that's the big question.
Jeff, I don't know, because I saw a play by McGee that went viral of him knocking down not one but two guys and throwing them down like rag dolls. That guy can play.
Yeah, he could. I mean, that was against a really bad Vanderbilt defense, though. I mean, let's face it. And then, you know, where does Ed Ingram kind of fall into all this? I mean, he started as a freshman.
Yeah.
In 2012, I thought if I go – or 2012, excuse me, he started 12 games in 2017. If I kind of remember his season, he was certainly somebody that got much better as the season went along. Damian Lewis has been really a starter at right guard now for a year and a half. He played a lot last season. Second-team All-SEC preseason player. You got Adrian McGee, who, yeah, he's gone viral here. McGee is also a guy who can fill in at tackle in case you get any kind of an injury there. So there's some options here. I think you're going to see Ingram get involved some way because at this point, you know, Coach O really hasn't been too excited about what he's seen so far on that offensive line. And they finally were able to get some big plays in the running game. But, again, the schedule is getting so much more difficult now. You're getting an SEC play where they're going to have to run the ball more, have to be able to move the chains. I think these defensive secondaries are going to start getting much better from here on out. So LSU just can't necessarily rely on the offense. And let's face it, now that Terrace Marshall is not out there, I think it is going to make it a little bit it's not going to be as easy for the LSU's passing game. There's other guys that can fill the role, Racy McMath, Trey Palmer, certainly other guys are developing underneath them, but that three-headed monster was really tough to stop, and you take Marshall out of there, now at least that's one less guy opposing defensive secondaries have to really worry about.
Jeff, appreciate you, Tom, as always, brother. Keep up the great work and have a tremendous Tiger Rag Radio this week, my friend.
Sounds good, man. You have a good week.
It's Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network and co-host of Tiger Rag Radio talking all things LSU. He seems to think that LSU can have the defense turn around, and he's not making any excuses for the health of that unit or the fact that the offense is out there. He says, yeah, that may be playing a role, but this defense has to get better because competition is about to increase greatly. You heard Jeff. He's like, Utah State's actually a pretty good team. So we'll see if the Tigers can improve on defense moving forward. We got to take a quick timeout. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Louis Prejean, producer extraordinaire. It's time for you to grab the microphone. We asked the people a poll question earlier today. Had it ready to go as soon as we hit the airwaves at 6 o'clock this morning. It was addressed to all the members of the Houdat Nation. With his performance, a highly efficient performance of nearly throwing for 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, 0 turnovers in the win, on the road, in the rain, at Seattle. Did Teddy Bridgewater prove his doubters wrong? Where do we stand on the poll results right now? Yes or no?
80% yes, 20% no. And we have
a comment?
A comment.
Ooh, I love comments.
We love engaging. Darren said, I sure don't hear them. Referring to the doubters. He does not hear the doubters.
Nice.
In his opinion, he did his job as backup.
That's right. That's what your backup quarterback. That's why you signed Teddy Bridgewater. You signed Teddy Bridgewater, made him the highest paid backup in the NFL to do what? To come in and spot duty and help your team win ball games. And that's what he did. We'll talk more about Teddy's performance on Sunday. The team as a whole. Alvin Kamara, Deontay Harris, the secondary, and much, much more with our boy Barry. Barry Hurstis joins us next live right here on RP3 and Company on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. I am your host, Raymond Parts III. The producer extraordinaire is Louis Prejean. And you are listening to Acadiana Sports Station, by the way. We've talked a lot of Houdats on today's show. Big win on the road for the Saints as they took down the Seattle Seahawks and improved to 2-1 on this young season. There's a lot to talk about from this game. We even asked you our poll question today, which is available at 1037thegame.com. Did Teddy Bridgewater prove his doubters wrong with his performance in Sunday's game with nearly 200 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and no turnovers? So far, it's been overwhelmingly yes, and we've even had some comments. Not hearing any doubters speaking up, calling your show, essentially. That is correct. But I want to ask that question to our next guest. He's one of the best in the business. He covers the New Orleans Saints for Big Easy Magazine, as well as the Saints News Network. It's our boy. He joins us every Monday, the one and only, Barry Hurstis. Barry, how you doing this morning, brother?
I'm doing a lot better than I was a week ago at this exact same time.
You and the rest of Hoodat Nation, my friend, that's for sure.
Oh, man, look, what a phenomenal win, man. Well, what a difference a week makes, huh? I mean, just phenomenal. And, man, if you're a Saints fan right now, how much better do you feel on this Monday morning compared to last? My God, what a dramatic. We were talking about how dramatic of a turn of events last week was from the Texans game to the Rams game. And now here we are a week later, and we're going through the same metamorphosis again, but in a good way this time. So, man, the roller coaster ride this football team has put this fan base on these first 3 weeks is just unbelievable. But look, never look a gift horse in the mouth, as they say. Take it any way you can get it. And look, man, look, what a just an inspired brand of football that this franchise put together yesterday. Kudos to Sean Payton for a phenomenal game plan. Kudos to Teddy Bridgewater, as you alluded to, leading in. Hey, man, look, I was one of his most vocal critics last week. I was on him pretty hard, as you well know. And I made sure to mention in my article this morning at Big Easy Magazine, I took that hit and admitted, hey, man, maybe I was a little harsh on him last week. Kudos to him for the job he did. Look, he wasn't spectacular by any means, okay? But I thought what he did well was he managed the game. He did a very solid job. I hesitate to call him a game manager because I really think he's so much more than that. And again, we saw him all summer at training camp, OTAs and all that. And we knew he was capable of this type of performance. I just think maybe last week, circumstances being what they were, maybe we were a little bit harsh to judge him. You know, there's a lot of emotion. Everybody's caught up in the emotion of the moment. You know, my God, we've lost our Hall of Fame living legend player to an injury that we never saw coming. I just think a lot of emotions played out last week. Now that we've had a week to digest everything and see what the franchise's game plan was going forward with all this, I think now we can breathe a sigh of relief.
Talking with Barry Hursis, covers the New Orleans Saints for Big Easy Magazine as well as the Saints News Network, and he joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We'll talk a little bit more about Teddy because, Barry, I felt Sean Payton adjusted his play calling to better suit what Teddy did. I think the offensive line did better blocking, and Teddy himself did a better job of getting the ball out. And they did that on the road with rainy conditions.
So, if
the offensive line blocks like they did, and Teddy Bridgewater is an efficient quarterback, two touchdowns, roughly around 200 yards passing, well over 60% completion percentage, no turnovers, they could do better than go 3-3 while Drew Brees is out. They could actually have a winning record, right?
Oh, absolutely. Look, yeah, you look at the schedule. You got the Cowboys coming up. Now you probably figure, well, that's kind of a gimme game there. You could see the Saints losing, especially as good as Dallas looks. But then after that, you got Tampa Bay. You got Jacksonville. You got Chicago, who undoubtedly will be tough to beat at Soldier Field, but by no means a juggernaut that they're capable of being, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Their offense is not that great. And then you got Arizona coming after that. Look, there is no reason why this football team, and we assume Brees is going to miss five more games. There's no reason why they couldn't win at least three of those. And as you and I covered it in great detail last week, if they can get to the bye at 4-4, they're in great shape. And as we saw, and as you and I both predicted last week in our conversation, the NFC South, complete garbage right down the tubes, brother. And to be sitting here in first place in sole possession of first place in the NFC South after everything that's happened in the last week, is just a godsend, in my opinion. If you're a Saints fan, you just got to be ecstatic right now. There is no reason why this team can't weather this storm until Breeze comes back. We assume, and it is now to bear in mind, this is assuming that everything goes as planned and he heals on time. Like we know he's a madman when it comes to rehab and his health and everything. And if he's able to recover on time, as we assume that he will, man, this season is not lost at all. As a matter of fact, it could go down as one of the more exciting Saints seasons in quite some time. Not because they're going to dominate the league, as we were hoping they would, but because their resiliency and their refusal to quit or to give up is going to be what stands out about this entire year.
We're talking with our boy, Barry. Barry Hursis of the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Barry. Alvin Kamara, he stepped up big yesterday, brother. Tough runs. Teddy Bridgewater said afterward he looked like a joystick. He also led the Saints in receiving with receptions and receiving yardage. Just how key is he going to be moving forward while Breeze is out? Let me ask you, is he the most important Saints player now that Breeze is going to be out of commission?
I would say so. I would think so. Then there's a couple more guys we could throw in there, obviously Michael Thomas, because Michael hasn't really been targeted like we're used to with Drew out of the lineup. But I think that will come in time. I think him and Teddy can develop a little chemistry of their own. And then on defense, man, look, that pass rush, I want to, while we're on the subject of praising players that we've been critical of so far early in the season, let's give a shout out to number 92, second year player, Marcus Davenport. We've been hearing a lot about this kid. I've been one of his biggest critics, as you know. We've called him out for what we thought maybe was a lack of production. Look, the stats aren't there. But if you go back and you look at the film, and we've had several analysts that exclusively cover the Saints, our friend Deuce Windham over at The Athletic, New Orleans Athletic.com specifically, is one who's been hyping Davenport's production. It doesn't show on the stat sheet. He's not racking up sacks. He's not doing the Khalil Mack routine by any stretch of the imagination. But what he is doing is playing solid football, and he's creating a lot of pressure, a lot of good things, or little things that don't get noticed, and it's helping that defensive line make plays. And look, there's still a lot of other areas they're suspect in. The secondary still is worrisome at times, but I thought the secondary played their best game of the year yesterday by far. There's no question about it. So you got to be encouraged by this defense. And look, as long as you can get that defense to step up and make one big defensive play per game, as they did, well, they made several yesterday, in my opinion. But if you can continue that trend and play, well overall defensively, and then maybe on special teams, you get a guy like Deontay Lewis, who's always a threat to take it to house. Of course, he fumbled later on, and Sean called him out on that. But that said, look, when you make those type of plays to back up an offense that's missing a Hall of Fame living legend type of player, you're going to more often than not win football games. And that's exactly what we saw. Man, that is a hard place to win at, in the rain, the 12th man and the crowd noise. And they just went up there. And to me, even though the score wound up being closer than it should have been at the end because of all the silliness at the end, that was a dominant performance. I mean, when you think back midway through the third quarter, it's 27-7, and that game essentially is on cruise control at that point. So, look, man, it's just I said after the game, and not many agreed with me, but I think personally, it's one of the great, great performances of the entire Sean Payton era, just because of the circumstances and everything that was going on. And to come away with a win in that particular situation, I think it just speaks volumes to the wonderful job that this organization did this week.
We're wrapping things up here with the one and only Barry Herstis. He covers the New Orleans Saints for the Saints News Network and Big Easy Magazine. All right, Barry, I need your honest thought here. Okay, and you always deliver the goods, so I'm just gonna tee this up for you. Is Jared Cook Kobe Fleener 2.0?
Oh wow, man, yeah, that was disappointing. I don't want to.
He has five catches for 69 yards in three games.
Yeah, it is bad. Look, it is bad. But again, let's remember, you know, you lost Drew for what, basically the entire game last week. Teddy doesn't seem to have that same connection that Drew had with him in the OTAs and in training camp. So I don't want to put my eggs in that basket just yet, but you make a very valid point, and after 3 weeks, it would be hard for me to argue otherwise.
It's still time, though, right, Barry, for him to turn around and develop a rapport with Teddy Bridgewater, because Teddy likes using the tight end. He did it while he was in Minnesota. So it's not like he doesn't like using the tight end. Look, they signed him. You don't need him to be Jimmy Graham. You don't need him to even be what Benjamin Watson was, his breakout season, his best season as a pro with the Saints the first time around. You just need him to be better than what they've had, and so far he has not been.
Yeah, no. To your point, it's definitely been a disappointment. But again, we're only three games in. We got 13 games still to play, so we'll see. And look, you know, hey, his stats may actually suffer for these next several weeks until Breeze gets back, and then you know he might flip the switch and have a phenomenal second half. And Cook's done that. He's done that in a few places that he's been before. Tennessee, I think, also that 1 year when he played for the Rams, he kind of got a slow start and then came on strong at the end for them. So I don't want to write him off. And you know, he kind of got a little nicked up at the end of camp. Maybe he's still dealing with that. Again, I don't want to be an apologist or make up a bunch of excuses for him. He hasn't produced, bottom line, and you're correct. But I'll give Jared Cook a pass for the time being.
Well, Barry, we don't have to give you a pass, my friend, because you produce every single week, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. Look, hey, man, Dallas Cowboys. Look, if you're a Saints fan, after what we saw yesterday, brother, if you can't get fired up for next Sunday night, then you don't need to be part of the Who Dat Nation, brother. Just strap it on, brother, because it's going to be real next Sunday night.
Barry, appreciate your time. As always, keep up the tremendous work down there at Big Easy Magazine and the Saints News Network, my friend, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
You got it, my friend.
That's Barry Herstis joining us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. My man's fired up. As you expect Barry to be every Monday. My man is ready to go. He's ready for that Cowboys game to happen today. Today. And Barry will come clean. Say, hey, he doubted. He questioned Teddy Bridgewater. He also questioned Marcus Davenport. Had to come clean. Love hearing that. We got to take our final timeout of the day. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Had a tremendous show today. Very good show. Reminder, poll question is up at 103.7thegame.com. Go vote on it as we speak. Did Teddy Bridgewater, with his performance on Sunday, prove his doubters wrong? Yes or no? Overwhelmingly, you members of the Who Dat Nation that are taking part in this latest and greatest poll are saying yes. We will give you the final results on tomorrow's show. Also want to take a moment to thank our guests for making time for us on this Monday morning. Damon Mason, the UL football legend, member of the UL Athletics Hall of Fame. I want to thank Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Radio Network. as well as co-host of Tiger Rag Radio. And, of course, our boy, Barry Herstis from the Saints News Network, as well as Big Easy Magazine, for breaking down all things Who Dat related for us. Also, want to thank our callers, Matt, Halftime, and Ron, for all calling in. We appreciate you making us part of your morning. Lewis, great job today, buddy. Great job. Keep it up. We'll have to keep you around, at least for a little while. I mean, at least for the week, right? I mean, that's okay. Okay. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. You twisted my arm. 2 weeks.
Ray, you tempted me to grab the microphone just to say thank you. That's it. Thank you. Pleasure being on. That's it.
You are welcome, sir. We got a good show lined up for you tomorrow as well. Jarrett Rozier from Tiger Details will join us. Andrew Juge from the Saints Happy Hour podcast will come on. Plus much, much more. Also, tonight, there'll be no Coach Oppressor this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, due to LSU being on a bye week. But that will return the following Monday. So we got normal programming for you up next, Dan Patrick Show, followed by the Jim Rome Show. Then Uncle Jordy will be in the house for the Jordy Holberg Show from 2 to 4. Then it'll be Bumper to Bumper Sports with the good brother Ben Love from 4 to 6:30. He's going to lead you into pregame for Monday Night Football, which you can listen to live right here on 103.7 The Game. Bears at Redskins pregame 6:30. Kickoff will be at 7 o'clock. Y'all be safe out there today. Be kind to one another. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.